It's sure good to be here and to share with you and to meet so many of you. And it's good to be in the place where Brian has been in ministry for all these years. And we've heard about you guys as well. And the times that we've visited together or traveled together in the last few years, it's been a blessing to hear of the good people here at KCC and the ministry of KCC in this community. And so God bless you for that, and may that increase, in fact. Some of you have asked for some time with me during the next day or two so that you can ask me questions about Brian. So there's a couple of hours left, appointment, no, I'm just kidding. And we're not going to do a lot of time this morning telling stories about him, of course, right? Because he's been around here long enough, and you probably know. We'll just leave it at that. And you know, it's really a blessing to be here. Enjoyed our fellowship last night with the service that met last night, and we jumped into the Book of Corinthians in the 8th chapter and continued that series in that context. But as I was meeting some of you this morning, and as I was sharing in the time of worship around the songs of praise, and as I came together with you in a time of communion, this may sound odd and weird to some of you, and it may be an excuse, I don't know, but I hope it is not. I just really feel prompted this morning to share with you something different than I had planned to share originally. And I pray that the Lord will use it as a blessing to you this morning, because it's a message that's really on my heart a lot. And I just want to be and bring words of encouragement to KCC this morning. I'm not here to be your instructor. I just want to be your encourager. And so this morning, if you would allow me the opportunity to share some thoughts with you in an area that's really simple, but it has to deal with this whole idea about faith. Because at the end of the day, brother, Pastor B, as some of you called, it's the end of the day, my friend, you know, it really comes down to the kind of faith that we have. And the kind of faith that we have is going to be demonstrated by how we live our life. I want to encourage you this morning, church, to think this morning with me about this faith. Now, if you have your Bibles, I guess in your bulletin is a nice set of notes that should have been filled in for you this morning from the message that I originally planned to bring to you. Unfortunately, you're not going to get those blanks filled in. Most of those blanks are pretty obvious if you thought through the statements that are there anyway. But if you want to take some notes, maybe that piece of paper will allow you to write down some scriptures from here and there that I'm going to refer to this morning as we unfold this subject called faith. Because I don't know about you, but I struggle daily with trying to understand a kind of faith that would please God. Do you struggle with that? I do. I think it's a daily reality for us as Christians and trying to walk with the Lord. You get up on Sunday, you know, come to church, and it's really a sweet fellowship with one another, and we enjoy our fellowship together, and it's a wonderful atmosphere, and things are good here. You know, you're not having to deal with some of the stuff at work. You know, nobody's going to come in here and start telling dirty jokes. Just doesn't seem to be the right place to do that, does it? You get to work tomorrow, well, that might be a different story. You know, you're not going to be tempted here to be looking at things and magazines and movies and different kinds of things that our eyes probably shouldn't spend a lot of time looking at. You with me? I mean, it's just kind of a safe place. But I walk out of here, and Monday morning hits. And then I get the question of how do I live my life today, Monday through Saturday, if you please, and still come out at the end of that week with a faith that pleases God. Now, that's what I struggle with. How about you? Yeah, I think that's real. So I found a scripture. You know the scripture. It's in the book of Hebrews. It's the 11th chapter. We know that chapter as being what chapter? The faith chapter. You've probably heard some good messages, maybe from Walt and Brian and others over the years, that taught us about this great chapter and looked at some of the great men and women of faith that are in that particular chapter. At the beginning of that chapter, we see a definition of faith, do we not? Now, I know that I'm hearing Bibles turned out there, and I love that. So I'm going to ask for you to help me this morning. Would somebody stand and read chapter 11, just the first couple verses that defines what faith is? Would somebody just stand and do that with me? Would you help me out? Thank you, sir. Amen. So there's your definition of faith. Now, I want that kind of faith. It's a kind of faith that just really puts your total trust in something you can't even understand. Now, I've never seen God. Have you seen God? I haven't seen God. I've seen God work, but I've never seen God. So I am one of those kind of guys that says, you know, I'm a touch-feely kind of guy, and I need to know and understand. I like science because science, you know, tests it and proves it. And I like math because math is always 4. And so it's always that way, right? I can trust that. And I'm the kind of guy that likes those kinds of things. So when I read a passage like this, it's like, well, faith doesn't fit that mold. It's trusting in things I can't even see and even touch, but I have a hope to know that they are actually real. So I thought, well, if that's faith, then what kind of faith do I need to please God? Somebody go on down. I think it's in verse 6, isn't it? Yes. Would somebody read verse 6? Yes, sir. There you go. That's the kind of faith that pleases God. There's two points in that in there. The first one is simply this, that you must believe that God is. That's right. God exists. God is. Church, I need you to say that with me, because I think it's important that you get up tomorrow morning and you simply have this idea that says, God is. Doesn't that feel good? I'm not a feely, I'm a feely kind of guy sometimes, but I think my faith is more than just feeling, but that feels good. God is. Wow. Now, sometimes we kind of get to thinking that maybe he isn't. But then I get to looking around the room, and I begin to think that, yep, God is, because I see in this room creation. Do you realize that each one of you sitting here this morning was put together by God special? Remember what David talks about, how God even knew him in his mother's womb, and he even understood him there? God is the creator of all things. And to think that he put this idea of creation, let's see, where's Tanya? Are you in here? No, you're out there with the kids, a little pregnant thing. Yeah, you know, walking around. I guess it's, boy, he was kicking this morning. You know, that child in her is a creation of God. Now look around the room. You're not looking around the room. Look around the room. Have you realized that? You greeted someone this morning. I didn't greet you this morning. I'm Jim. You're the burger man.
Yes.
Yeah. Roy? Ah, there you are. We're just talking about you. Yeah? That creation that you're carrying around in you. Roy, God created you unique and special. There's nobody else in this room like Roy. Roy's right. Is that your name?
Yes. Yeah.
Is there? Is there no one like this guy? You don't think so, yeah? You're going, praise God, there isn't. Yeah? I'm not stumbling here. I'm wanting us to think, because I think that is such a powerful concept. For me to believe that God is, I simply look at you. And I see God's powerful creation at hand. I love that. And that helps me to understand that God is. We must understand that if we will simply believe that God is the creator of all things, then everything else after that makes sense. Let me back up even further. Genesis chapter 1, verse 1. First phrase of the Bible says, in the beginning, what? God created. Looking, folks, the kind of faith that believes that God, that will please God, is a simple faith that believes that He is. You take verse 1, phrase 1 of the Bible, and say, I believe that without hesitation, 100%, never to deny that God is, because He is creator. Everything else that you read after that phrase will not be a problem for you. Jonah and the whale, no big deal. Parting of the sea, no big deal. A virgin birth, no big deal. A resurrected Lord, no big deal. Why? In the beginning, God created. I believe that God is. Do you believe it? That God is. You want to know how to please God in your faith? Get up tomorrow morning and simply declare, God is. You will please Him. That's a form of praise. It's a form of worship. It's a form of declaration. It is a witness. You want a witness for the Lord? Walk into work tomorrow morning and say, God is. You with me? You understand what I'm saying. You probably can't do that at your work. I know in Seattle where we live, we have to be very careful what we say at our work. Do you have to do that here? I'm sure you do. But you can live your life believing that God is. You know what else that happens with that? It's very simple. I believe God is. Oh, I believe God is. Wow, I believe that God is. Thanks for the emphasis. Because I believe that, it helps me with choices on Monday morning or Monday night or Tuesday evening or Wednesday. And I'm not talking about, do I go to church, not go to church? Do I go to my Bible study, not go to my Bible study? I'm talking about choices even better than, more important than that. Do I listen to that joke? Do I open that magazine? Do I watch that television show? Do I go to that movie? Do I participate in that particular kind of activity that I know the Lord doesn't want me to participate in? It helps me make a choice because I believe what? God is, and He is the rewarder of those who seek after Him. That's the second thing. Now, the kind of faith that also pleases God is this, a faith that I think is a little bit bold, Brian, out of the box. I like out of the box. Do you like out? I know you like out of the box a lot. I want to be around a fellowship of people who believe that God is so much that they want to live out of the box. A kind of faith that pleases God is a faith that's bold. You don't believe me, do you? You think, no. A kind of faith, it can't be bold. Yeah, it can. You remember a story in Matthew chapter, it's in the 15th chapter of the book of Matthew. It's a story about this Canaanite woman. She kept coming to Jesus, and He was kind of talking to His disciples, and she kept coming to this woman, and the disciples said to Jesus, let's send this gal away. She is a pest. Now, I'm just paraphrasing a little bit here for us this morning, okay? You can find it in the 15th chapter. Read the story. You can see. And finally, Jesus says to, you know, it sounds like He's agreeing with the disciples. Yeah, you know, I didn't come for anybody but for Israel, and that's the only people I came from. And this Canaanite woman, this Gentile woman says to Jesus, you know, but yet even the dogs will eat the crumbs that fall on the floor, and that's enough. And Jesus' response was, boy, that's the kind of faith I like to hear. Even just a little crumb is enough. Now, sometimes I think we want the whole package. You know, I don't get it all, and if it doesn't stay perfect all every day, then I'm just kind of good. And this little Canaanite woman, she got it. Even a crumb of the Lord is enough. Just give me even a part of what you're going to give the Israelites, and I'll be happy. And Jesus said, that's the kind of faith I like. That's pretty bold for a Canaanite woman, Gentile woman, to be talking to this Jewish rabbi about just taking a few crumbs. In the 8th chapter, back up a little bit in the book of Matthew, you see another story about a fellow. He's called a centurion. Remember the centurion story? They're walking along, and the disciples and the centurion comes up to Jesus and says, I've got this person at home who's sick, and I need for you to help me. And Jesus said, well, let's go. And the centurion says, wait. I'm not worthy of you coming to my place. I'm actually, by the way, a centurion here, you know, and I'm a man of authority. And when I tell my people to do something, they do it. Remember that story? Yeah. And Jesus, I wish we could set this scene up and everything. Can I get three or four of you guys to help me out? You mind? Got to do it quick, though, right? I need a couple here. Roy, you join us up here and all. And I want you to pretend, if you would, that this is the disciples. There's 12 or so, and there's a following of people. Just stand in front of it like that. And Jesus, we're walking along, right? Yeah, there's probably 30 people following Jesus. You know? There was this crowd, and they're walking along. And now, Brian, you're going to be the centurion guy. And boy, they did, didn't they? Woo! Good for you. So we're walking along, and the centurion comes up to Jesus, and we have this encounter, and goes, what can I do? Hi. And you say, I want you to come and heal this servant. Okay, let's go. And you go, no, you don't need to go, because I've got this authority. People understand. And Jesus, here's the scene, right? They're hearing all this. The scripture says Jesus turned. Centurion's back here. Sometimes we think Jesus was saying this to him, the centurion, but he wasn't. He turned and he said to the disciples and all these guys following, did you hear this guy's faith? You get the picture? Thanks for your help. Now, see, he was trying to teach those who were already following him about faith, not the centurion. The centurion got it. So Jesus says, you know, that's the kind of faith that I want to see. In fact, I haven't seen any kind of faith like this in all of Israel yet. And then he turns back. He says, it will be done as you request. And as far as we know, that person was healed. Kind of faith that pleases God is not only one that believes that he is, box. Kind of faith that believes, that thinks beyond the normal, like the centurion. Like the Canaanite woman, or like those four guys who had a buddy who was sick, and they had probably done everything they can do to find help for their friend. That'd be a normal deal, wouldn't it? Jesus was at Peter's house. Peter's house was full, and there were people hanging in everywhere that was so full you couldn't get into the house. And remember, they took their friend down to Peter's house, and they couldn't get in, and so what did they do? They went up on the roof. Yeah, you guys know the stories. My goodness. Good for you. They aren't so hard to remember. He goes up on the roof. Now, I don't know if this place, if they had to put a hole in the roof. My suspicion is that there was some kind of opening in those roofs in Jerusalem in those days, and they didn't have to destroy anything to let this guy down, but somehow they were able to open up the roof somehow, and they began to let this friend of theirs down in front of Jesus on a bed, on rope, evidently. And can you imagine the scene? Here are these four guys. I mean, this guy's in a bed. He's sick. He's almost, don't mean to say it badly, but like dead weight. Imagine if he's a guy the size of Ken here. You know? And it's me and my four buddies who are trying to lift this dude down the thing. I mean, this is commitment. But this is out of the box, isn't it? You know, I love my friend, but let's put him on a stretcher, take him down to Peter's house, and get him on a roof and drop him down in front of this guy we call Jesus, hopefully that Jesus will do something about it. That's out of the box thinking. Yeah, There you go. Kind of faith that we need. And so they let him down, and guess what happens? Jesus stops in his tracks. Now, I have to believe that at this point, if you may allow me, I think Jesus smiled. But I know what the Scripture said. The Scripture has a very important statement. It says, when Jesus saw their, not his, their faith. Now, we know the man was healed, and he went around his life for the rest of his life pretty well, I guess. Pretty kind of good faith. The kind of faith that pleases God, believes that he is, but it also is the kind of faith that pleases God. It's the kind of faith that is out of the box. It's a bold kind of faith. The kind of faith of a Canaanite woman that just take a few crumbs. A kind of faith of a centurion who doesn't even need Jesus to come to his house. Now, if it had been me, I want Jesus to come because he was popular. And I want all the popular guys to come to my house, don't you? And I don't need to do it. I know your authority. I know the kind of faith. That's the kind of faith I want to see. I'm the kind of faith that will take my friend to Jesus, trusting that God, through Jesus, is going to do something about it, and I'm going to bring him in front of Jesus. And Jesus not only hears the kind of faith with the centurion, but he also sees the kind of faith that those four men had for their friend. And that's the kind of faith that I want to encourage the church here at KCC to have in relationship to how do you please God? By having a faith that believes that God is creator, that he is, and a kind of faith that thinks out of the box. You know, I don't think our churches think out of the box enough. I don't think our churches demonstrate enough faith in God. I think we think about just doing the normal everyday things. And I think it's time, church, that we get out of the box. But ours is another kind of faith, though. And I think there's a kind of faith that also pleases God, is the kind of faith that really stands firm, is unmovable. I will not be moved. I will stand. No matter what comes my way, I will not deny my Lord. I will not be like Peter, who stands around that fire that night that he was arrested and deny that I knew him. I will not. The kind of faith that will please God is a kind of faith that believes that he is, that lives out of the box and believes, and so much that I will stand firm of that no matter what. If it costs me my life, I'll stand firm. If it costs me my job, I will stand firm. Because I believe that God is, and that he is a rewarder of those who earnestly will seek after him. Where do you find him? You find him here in worship. You find him in the Word, in Bible study. You find him in the quiet times of your mornings and your evenings. You find him in the desert, if you please. You find him in the mountaintop. You find him on a moonlit night. You find him on the stars twinkling in the sky. You find him on the nights when it rains. You find him on the days when it snows. You find him in that friend. You find him in that wife. You find him in that child. You find him in the birth of new babies. You find him everywhere. If we just open our eyes and see. The kind of faith that pleases God is the kind of faith that stands firm. My favorite story in all of Scripture is about Peter. Now, I relate to Peter. You probably noticed from one of my actions and the way my body language this morning is that I'm a lot like Peter. In the personality world, it's what you call choleric. I'm the red guy, you know, in the red, green, blue, and yellow charts. Some of you might be aware of that personality way. I'm the red. Let's get it done. Don't get in my way. I want the facts. I want the truth. Let's move forward right now and not mess around. Why are you so lazy? Get up, you melancholy. You know, get up, you sanguine. Let's go. Okay, I'm like Peter. Roy, if we'd have been in the garden together, I'd have been the guy like Peter with the sword and taking that ear off of that guard. Remember, Jesus had to put that ear back on. I'd have been standing there with Peter taking the other ear off. That's my personality. That's the way I think. That's the way I am. I can relate to Peter. Can any of you relate to him that way? Yeah. I hate to say it, but I'm afraid I'd have been Peter too at that little fire when that was challenged about, do you know Jesus, and probably denied him. I'd have probably done that too. I'd have probably been Peter too when he was encountered, when Jesus encountered him and asked him about, "Do you love me, guy?" And I'd have probably done the same thing. "Well, come on, God, Jesus, you know I do. Let's move on here. What are you doing these basics for?" You know, pretty much Jesus finally got the point across about the kind of love he was expecting. Remember the story? Jesus and the guys had had a full day. And at the end of the day, Jesus was pretty wiped out. And they were on their way to some other place. And he said, "You guys get in the boat and you go ahead of me. I'll join you later in the morning. I'm going to go up to the mountain and spend some time in prayer." It's interesting to me, that little side note, when Jesus was wiped out, that he didn't go to bed. He went to pray. Kind of an interesting thing. I think it might be a pattern for some of us to kind of think about. He goes to pray. 3 o'clock in the morning, it says, you know, 6 hour. They're out on the Sea of Galilee. Now, you got to remember, these guys were fishermen, right? They knew the sea. They knew the water. They knew the path.